What a blessing to be here this morning. It overwhelms the heart with gratitude. Not every now and then, every Sunday. Praise God for how He orders a service. Very distinctly, very directly, week by week, in different ways, He ministers to us. And we thank God for that. He is in charge of everything. Think about it, fathers. All our needs, all our mistakes, all the times that we didn't do right. But a session of encouragement like that just makes you want to go home and do it, doesn't it? That's a good lesson for us with the children. It's good for us. It makes you want to do right, even though you know you don't always do right. Well, I praise God for the way the Lord led in the service. I had a Father's Day sermon ready to give this morning, but the Lord wouldn't let me go that way, and I wrestled with that a little bit. I thought, Lord, this is Father's Day, and we're not bound to national holidays and all of that, but it is Father's Day, and the people, they're going to expect something about fathers. And but God just wouldn't let me go that way. And I so appreciate how the Lord led Brother Aaron to call Brother Paul and how He just directed the service so far. That's why He knew we didn't need to go that way, because someone else would go that way. So I'd like us to open our Bibles now to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Just turn there for now. We won't give you any more text until I give a little introduction. I feel led of the Lord this morning to preach a sermon that I preached 15 years ago. Now that's a long time ago, so I don't think too many of you have heard it. But the Lord laid it on my heart last couple of days to preach a sermon that I preached 15 years ago. It's interesting to me. I watch the tape ministry pretty closely to see which tapes go, which tapes don't go. And I don't know if you realize it, but we kind of filter out sermons all the time out of the tape ministry. About once a year we get a list, and we look over the list, and if you see a tape that hasn't been ordered, or maybe ordered once or twice in a whole year, it goes to the side and others take its place. So I study that list all the time, watching to see many things. I discern many things by looking at that list, but it's always interesting to me to see what tapes endure that scrutinizing process year after year after year. And this sermon that I'm going to preach this morning is one of those tapes that has endured 15 years of that scrutinizing process. It's still in the tape catalog. That tells me something. It tells me that it is a great need among God's people, and they just keep ordering it and ordering it and ordering it year after year after year. So I want to speak this morning on the subject of bitterness. bitterness, its causes, and its cure. Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 17. Paul tells us these words. God tells us these words this morning. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's an awesome verse, isn't it, all by itself? Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, looking unto Jesus, that's what it says in verse 1 and 2, looking diligently unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Wow. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Bitterness, its causes, and its cure. I want to minister to the hurting today. I sense the need to give this sermon. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're spending much time praying, you know, looking ahead to our own meetings as a fellowship, looking ahead to that week of local ministry, and just being burdened that, oh, that God would do a deep work in our hearts, that God would do a work of cleansing, that God would just establish the congregation in new ways during that week. Maybe that's the reason why this burden for this message comes. But I sense the need to give this sermon again. Also, it's 15 years later, and probably many of you have not heard it. It's 15 years later, I have seen and counseled many bitter, hurting people over the last 15 years. I have seen some absolutely changed and even healed of physical problems because they dealt with the bitterness that was in their heart. It's 15 years later, and I have also wrestled with bitterness myself as I walk the Christian road and deal with issues and people and all those things that we all face. You know, sometimes in my meetings, in different places where I travel and preach, I ask people to write down their greatest need on a piece of paper. I also take note of things like that when those papers come in. And don't just go through them one time and read them. But I notice. And there's one thing that I notice whenever I ask people to write down on a piece of paper their greatest need. 1/3 of those people write the same thing on a piece of paper. And these are God's people. This is not the world. These are God's people. Anger and bitterness. On 1/3 of those papers. So I know it's a need among God's people. We all face difficulties in our lives. How we respond to those difficulties determines where we're at with God, whether we're able to go on with God, or how fast we can go on with God. None of us are exempt from those difficult circumstances. Not a one of us. But I would give you this encouragement this morning. I know there are many people sitting in this room this morning who are free, hallelujah, from bitterness and anger and whatever the hurts have been that have come your way. You've gotten through to God on the whole thing. And praise God for that. If you're one of those, I would encourage you to listen simply because God wants you to be a counselor, a healer, a helper to those you find along life's journey who haven't found their way through this issue of bitterness. I wish this morning, and I wouldn't do it to you, but I still wish I could, but some of you Africans we'll know what I'm talking about. I wish that this morning, before I begin this sermon, I could get every one of you to stick your tongue out and I would drop one little malaria pill on your tongue. Those of you that have been to Africa, you know that is one of the most bitter things you've ever experienced. I know there are getting better and better with these malaria medicines, and maybe they're not as bitter. I don't know. I don't take it anymore. But I've taken enough malaria medicine to know it is bitter. In fact, many of the missionaries, it's so bitter for their children that they hide it in a little clump of peanut butter or something else to try to get those little children to swallow it because it's so bitter and they can't chew it because if they chew it, it really works on them. I can't do that this morning, but I wish that I could because that sensation that goes through you when you drop that malaria pill on your tongue and try to get it down before it starts dissolving is exactly what bitterness does to the soul and the spirit of man. It's exactly the same. The effects, it affects your mouth, it affects your throat, it affects your stomach, it'll make your nose start running. It does all kinds of things. And these are all the body's response to something bitter being put in the tongue. Medicines are often bitter. To the African, if you ask them, they don't consider that they've taken medicine unless it's bitter. They don't understand this American medicine stuff, you know, where they put sugar in it and cherry syrup and all those things and make it taste good. To them, if it's not bitter, it's not medicine and it doesn't work. So I wish that I could give you just a little bitter, just a little bit of a drink or a taste of what something bitter tastes like this morning. I also want us to notice in by way of introduction that the opposite of bitter is what? Sweet. Sweet. Hallelujah this morning. We don't have to tap into a root of bitterness. There's a sweet root, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sweet. Colossians admonishes us men, to love our wives and be not bitter against them. These are places where the word bitter shows up in the Scriptures. James chapter 3 and verse 11, he's admonishing us about our tongue, and he uses the illustration of sweet water and bitter water, and says that out of the same fountain, there should not flow sweet water and bitter water. And he's referencing the use of our tongue. As I meditated upon that early this morning, I thought, you know, that's right. Most of the time, when bitterness shows itself, it shows itself with the tongue. So let's look at the subject of bitterness a bit this morning. First of all, what is bitterness? The word, if you look up the word in the Hebrew text and also in the Greek text, it means sharp and cutting and pointed and poison. That's what the word bitter means. I think the first place where we see the word in the Old Testament is there at the waters of Marah. You know, when the children of Israel were led by God out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, they're out into the wilderness there, and they came to this place called Marah. It was a place where there was water. But yet the water that was there, according to the Bible, says that the water was bitter. It was sharp. It was pointed. It was pungent. It was poison. And they wouldn't drink it. And they went to Moses and said, "Moses, we're thirsty. We're out here in the wilderness. We don't have any water to drink. Now we have some water that we can see with our eyes, but the water's bitter." And Moses went to the Lord because the people were murmuring. And God, according to the Bible, God showed Moses a tree and said, "Moses, you take that tree and throw it in that water, and that tree, whatever's in that tree, will heal the bitterness in that water." And Moses did what God said, and sure enough, the bitter water was made sweet, and all the people drank. Oh, may God heal the bitter waters in our hearts and our lives today. To give you a good operational definition of the word bitterness, it means to poison your heart with bad feelings toward someone else. Let me give that again. It means to poison your heart with bad feelings toward someone else. Bitterness. Synonyms of bitterness this morning. So that we understand a bit more what it really is. Resentment. Sullen. Spiteful. Scornful. Mean. Angry. Sour. Rank. Often, bitterness is seen in attitudes. It's seen in attitudes. And many people do not know they're bitter. In the counseling room, when you bring up that subject, when first it comes onto the floor for discussion, most people will say, "Oh, I'm not bitter." Isn't that right, Brother Mark? Mark talks on the telephone all the time, counseling. "Oh, I'm not bitter. You know, I know what bitterness is, but I'm not bitter." Often bitterness is seen in attitudes of resentfulness, spitefulness, scornfulness, and anger. Let me give you some synonyms of the word sweet. So that way, by contrast, we can see what bitterness is. Attractive, agreeable, pleasant, sympathetic, good-natured, kind and lovable. The text that we've looked at here in Hebrews chapter 12 is a classic text on this subject. It references the example of Jacob and Esau. And Esau being the one who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And then, after his brother Jacob took the blessing away from his father, Esau allowed his heart to be poisoned with bad attitudes and feelings toward his brother Jacob. That's bitterness. Esau had a choice to make there, just like we all have choices to make. And Esau allowed the poison. He allowed his heart to be poisoned with bad feelings toward his brother, so much so that in his heart he said, "I'm going to kill him as soon as my dear old dad passes away and the mourning process is over. I'm going to get even with him for what he did to me." And this is the reason why Jacob fled to another place. A root of bitterness. It grows continually. A root of bitterness is a root. We understand that illustration very well. It's been on the board many times. You know, you have a tree here. You have the branches on the tree. You have the roots of the tree. And maybe you go up here and cut off this branch or cut off this branch, but something else is going to grow because the roots are still in the ground. They're alive and well, and they're bringing forth fruit. The root of bitterness grows continually and bears bitter fruit. Bitter fruit of unforgiveness. Bitter fruit of resentment. Sometimes bitter fruit of retaliation and anger and hatred. And sad to say, but sometimes even murder. Yes, sometimes even murder. This is the fruit of bitterness. Now this morning, I'm not talking about taking a little drink and then getting over your offense. Now that's what we should do. I'm not referencing that this morning. But rather, I'm referencing something that is a root in a life. It is deep down inside there. It's alive. It's well. It's growing. It's bringing forth fruit. It keeps showing itself. You try to stuff it. You try to put it away. You try to do better. But there it is. It's a root, and it keeps on growing, and it keeps on growing. It is a root that is growing and producing bitter fruit. Sharp, pungent, spiritual poison is what it's growing. What is the effect of bitterness? Now that we've looked a little bit at what it is, let's look at the effects of bitterness just a bit. According to our text here, it will trouble you. It will trouble you. It doesn't seem to go away. It just keeps troubling you. I think of the scriptures there in, I think it's Matthew chapter 18, where, you know, the Lord forgave the one servant a great, great debt. And he turned around and went and found a fellow servant who owed him just a little bit of money. And he grabbed him by the throat and he demanded of him to pay him all that he was due. And the man fell on his knees in mercy and said, "Please have mercy on me and I will pay thee all." But the servant who was forgiven many, many debts would not forgive his fellow servant. Striking words we find there in Matthew 18. Let me just read them to you. They're sobering words for sure this morning. But he said these words, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." And then Jesus makes application to this parable and says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." So, the first point here is, it will trouble you. It just is there. It's just constantly plaguing you. It's just constantly sticking up its ugly head. It's just constantly troubling you. It's constantly there, messing up things inside of you. It's a continual troubling influence. Number two, according to our text here, it will defile many. You know, it would be one thing if bitterness only affected me, but bitterness affects many other people. Because you see, brothers and sisters, not a one of us is an island. We all live in the midst of a real world, and we are surrounded with people, whatever our circle of influence is. We find ourselves in a circle of influence. There are no hermits in this room, living in a little house out in the woods, far away from everybody else. We are surrounded with people. And if there is a root of bitterness, it will influence others. Number three, it will ruin relationships. We won't even understand how or why it is ruining relationships, but it will ruin relationships. It will cause us to say things in such a way that it will hinder relationships with other people. It will cause us to imagine things that are not even there, which hinders relationships with other people. It will cause us to say things in such a way that will hurt other people, and we won't even know that we're hurting them. It ruins relationships. Number four, it will cause you to hate people that you should love. Because, like we learned this morning, the faith of our fathers loved even their enemies. It will cause you to hate people whom God wants you to love. And I want to just make this special point here. Number five, it will affect your family. It will affect your family. You know, I've noticed this about bitterness. Some people can hide bitterness very well in this kind of a setting. But when the door goes shut at home, there it begins to show itself. There it's okay. There I can be me. There I feel more relaxed. There I don't put up my guard. There I let down my guards. There I am more who I really am. And because of that, and we all know that it's so, every one of us in this room, we know that. Because of that, when there's a root of bitterness in a heart, it affects our family. And that's not a little thing. When you get into the counseling room, brothers and sisters, and you counsel with people, you find things in their lives that they got way back there 20 years ago when they were a little boy or a little girl in a home where bitterness ruled. You find it all the time. What is the effects of bitterness? It can cause you to be angry with your children. It can cause you to spank your children with a bitter spirit and throw them into the confusion of their life when they try to figure this thing out. It's not a little issue this morning. Bitterness. What are the effects of bitterness? It brings a clouded conscience all the time. Not just every now and then. Oh, it manifests itself in a strong way every now and then, but it causes a clouded conscience all the time. It's always there. You see, you can't love God and hate somebody. Those two don't go together. You cannot love God and hate somebody at the same time. What are the effects of bitterness? It will distort your view of people. Because of what is inside of your heart, you look through different eyes when you're bitter. You mistrust people you shouldn't mistrust. You imagine things that you shouldn't be imagining. You think they're thinking when they're not thinking that at all. You hear them say two words and imagine 20 others. And it's not at all what it really happened. But there's that root of bitterness in there. And because it's there, you see through darkened eyes the relationships of other people. It will distort your view of God. You will look at Him and see Him through different eyes than those who gaze up into His shining face and know, "My Father loves me." It will do that. It will distort your decisions and cause you to make choices that you wouldn't make. I know people who moved thousands of miles by a mistake. Why? Because there was a root of bitterness in their heart. I know people who are absolutely lost out in that world today, who sat in this room one time, sat in the same place, heard the same sermons, sensed the same atmosphere, sang the same songs, rejoiced with the same people. They're gone today. Not just gone from here, gone. Gone from God. Why? A root of bitterness was there. Then a word came, and it was totally misunderstood. And they went an absolute wrong direction and took their whole family with them. And today, it's in wreck and ruin. Another reason, it will make you like the one you hate. It will make you like the one you hate. I don't understand that, but it's that way. It's like if you focus on that person who, for some reason, you've allowed the poison of bad feelings to settle in your heart. You focus on that person. You may be saying with everything that is in you, with your mind, "I will never be like that person." But you are being conformed into the image of that person that you hate every day. How many times I've heard it spoken in a council room or in a prayer room somewhere. "I can't believe it. I said I would never be like my..." And you put the words in there, "but I am exactly like them." Have you ever heard that? It's because the focus of the heart is off of Jesus and onto something else, onto someone else, onto what they did, onto what they have. Whatever the reason is, we've allowed some poison to the poison of bad feelings towards somebody else to settle in our heart. Whatever the reason is, the focus has been turned away from the precious Lord Jesus in all of His beauty and all of His purity. And now we're focusing on that person, and we are becoming just like them. You see, who you look at, you become like. Amen? That can be taken on the positive side, but here this morning it can also be taken on the negative side. I would encourage us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and become like Him. And lastly, what are the effects of bitterness? It can destroy your health. It can destroy your health. I'll never forget the story that Brother Mose shared with us. Oh, it's many, many years ago. At least 15, because he shared it before I gave this sermon 15 years ago. But he was telling a story of one of the places where he was, and he was traveling, and there was a, somehow he met this African man, somebody that he knew this African man who was hurting, who was dying, who was drying up, who was withering away, who was pining away, who was soon to die. And this person who knew this man brought this African man to one of the meetings. And the African man came to Brother Mose after the service was over and said, "I need help. I'm dying." And Brother Mose counseled with him for a little while and found out that he was not pining away with physical problems. He was pining away with bitterness. Oh, yes, there were reasons why he allowed that poison to come into his heart, but he didn't get rid of it. And there he was, in fact, pining away physically. He got on his knees. He repented. He dealt with all those things. And the report came back a month or so later that God had healed him of all of his sickness. And he was full of energy and full of strength and full of zeal for God again. It can do that. Esau is an illustration of the effects of bitterness. He purposed to kill his brother. He hated his brother. He despised his father and his mother. And because he saw that his father didn't want him to take a wife of the Canaanites, he went right out and did exactly the opposite of what his father wanted him to do. Why? Because there was bitterness in his heart. And that bitterness was leading him, throwing his discernment off, and causing him to do things that normally he wouldn't do. So how do you know if you are bitter? Let's consider that as a little bit here. The next point. How do you know you're bitter? As I said already, many people are, but do not know it. They've been bitter so long, they're just used to being that way. Their conscience is seared, and they don't even realize anymore that they're holding something. And it's affecting their whole life. But how can you tell? What are some of the signs? Consider these. Not always, but many times, anger is an outburst fruit of bitterness. When people come to me and say, "Brother Denny, I need help." Usually they come concerning their children and they'll say, "I'm so angry. I get angry at my children. Can you help me?" I usually ask them, "Are you bitter about something?" Now that kind of surprises them. They wouldn't expect that counsel. They would expect some other, you know, well, why don't you try this? Or count to 10 before you go, you know, and, you know, all those nice little, you know, 1, 2, 3s. They're not expecting me to say, are you bitter toward somebody? But the truth of the matter is that one of the clearest fruits of bitterness is outbursts of anger. Say, just explode. Angry words. And then afterwards, you may stop and say, why did I do that? Why did I say that? What got over me? Number two, harsh words. Harsh words. Not an outburst of anger, but just harshness in the voice. It's interesting, as I was meditating this morning, looking down over this list, which I haven't looked over for 15 years, looking down over the list, I noticed most of these signs of bitterness have to do with the tongue. But the third point I have here is overcritical. Overcritical. Just always find something wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not good enough. And you should have done that better. And why did you do it this way? And don't you see what this is wrong? It's overcritical. Critical, constantly finding fault. Just consider. Number four, another bondage in your life that you cannot overcome. Another bondage in your life. Now that one will surprise you, but it's true. Oh, many times, counseling with young people during Bible school, a young man, a young lady will come for counsel on an issue in their life. And by the leading of God's Spirit, I will ask them a question about a totally different thing in their life. And they'll look kind of funny at you at first, like as if, what are you asking me that for? You know, I'm coming for this. You know, a young man comes struggling with lust and immorality, and he comes bringing the thing to you, and he just dumps the whole thing out to you and says, this is the way it is, and this is how I am, and I'm so sick of it, and I'm so trying to get victory, and I'm just sick of trying. It doesn't work for me. And I'll say, what's your attitude towards your father? And he'd look funny at me. What? Yeah. Are you bitter towards your dad? Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, I am. You know what? You help him get rid of that bitterness toward his dad. Guess what else goes away? Hallelujah! The other goes away! It was a root. You can clip fruit all day long. But if you don't get the root, you're just going to get more fruit. That's it. How do you know that you have bitterness in your life? Oh, maybe you're touchy. You know, like they say, well, you have to walk on eggshells around him or around her, you know. You just have to walk on eggshells, you know. You have to be careful everything you say because, you know, touchy. Just, why'd you do that? Don't do that. Why are you saying that? Where are you going? Just touchy. In other words, don't touch me. Bitterness. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. Stop yourself at a time when things just didn't didn't go right for you, stop yourself for a moment and ask this question. How am I feeling right now? How am I feeling? No joy, no growth, or little growth. This is a sign that there's a possibility of bitterness down in the heart. No joy, or very little growth, you know. One step forward, three steps backward. A half a step forward, and two steps backward. Oh, it's just barely getting along here in the Christian life. How do you know if you're bitter? When you are pressed out of measure, which we all are at times, what comes out? When you are pressed out of measure, when the circumstances ordered by God in such a way that they press you out of measure, what comes out? Good question. Good thing to think about. When you are pressed out of measure, I want to give you a little encouragement here. If you're trying to figure this out, well, am I, what this, maybe it's this, let me give you an encouragement. Go look in the mirror. Just go look in the mirror. And just stand there for about a minute and look at your face. Just look at it. You will be able to tell a lot about where you're at if you will look at your face. What causes bitterness? Let's look at that a little bit this morning. It's not just one thing that causes bitterness. Number one, and this is often the number one reason for bitterness, someone hurt me. Someone hurt me. And someone does hurt me. We live in a real world. We are humans. We live with humans. And many of us grew up in an unchristian atmosphere. And there you're thrown to the whim, to the wind and whim of anything could come your way in your past. Someone hurt you. A few days ago, I was visiting with a neighbor, next door neighbor of ours, a hurting man, a bitter man, a angry man. Yeah. And I was visiting with him just a few minutes and felt like I needed to apologize to him for a couple of things, and that warmed his heart and opened his heart a little bit, and he started to share a bit about his life, and he said, I know I'm an angry man. He said those words. I know I'm an angry man. There's no excuse for all my anger. But that was the next word he said. And of course, I knew what was coming because I'm a pastor. But I still let him talk. He said, but you don't know all the things that happened to me. I could give you 1,000 reasons today why I'm so angry. And I said to him, yes, my friend, you probably can give 1,000 reasons. You probably did have a hard life when you were young. But Jesus is a healer. He's a healer. I told him. Many times there is a hurt. They're real hurts. Some of them are deep hurts. I'm amazed how deep some of those hurts are. Some of them are so deep, they take 30 minutes to weep out. 30 minutes. What causes bitterness? Well, first of all, we get hurt. But number two, we don't want to forgive. That's where it starts to fester. See, we get hurt and we're going to get hurt. That's never going to stop. As long as we're in this body, we're going to be hurt. We're going to get hurt. But the question is, what am I going to do with my hurt? We choose not to forgive. We choose to foster our hurt. And if we choose to foster our hurt, bitterness begins to settle in. That is, we allow the poison into our heart. The poison of a wrong attitude and bad feelings towards somebody else. We allow that. So maybe someone does something to hurt us. And maybe somebody did something to hurt you. And maybe it's long ways back. Maybe it's 20 years ago. But it's a hurt, a disappointment, an expectation. You know, who knows what it could be? Maybe your dad just wasn't a good dad, or maybe your mom wasn't a good mom, and they said things and they acted toward you in ways that they shouldn't, you know. Maybe it was a relative, you know, maybe it was a trusted uncle, and who knows, you know, the list is endless. The works of the flesh are manifest and they're endless in this wicked world. And people get hurt when the works of the flesh are manifest. But we choose not to forgive. Sometimes we take up an offense for somebody else and bitterness can settle in. You know? He hurt my dad. And nobody hurts my dad. My dad's the best dad in the whole wide world. Amen? But somebody hurts our dad. And we take up an offense for our dad. Maybe even our dad made it through the thing. But we didn't. Because we got offended that somebody hurt our dad. Or somebody said something about our mom. Or somebody rejected my sister. Or said something about my brother. Or who knows what it could be. We take up an offense for somebody else's hurt. And the poison begins to make its way into our heart. Here's another one. Chastisement not received. We get offended at God. Do you know you can be bitter to God? Do you know that you can allow a poison of bad feelings to settle into your heart? About God? Kind of staggering to think about it, but you can do that. Things aren't always real nice in life. God allows a father to pass away, and you're 5 or 6 years old. You can't understand why God would allow that, and for whatever the reason, you're without a dad, or you're without a mom, or whatever it is. And you can't figure out how God could allow such a thing. And if you don't deal with that thing, you allow that attitude to grow in your heart, and pretty soon you're bitter against God. Number four, rebellion to authority can cause attitudes, bad feelings toward another person to move into your heart. See? Listen. Watch how this works. Your authority tries to direct your life. You don't want your authority to direct your life. Your conscience bothers you because your authority needs to be directing your life. So in order to silence that conscience, you start getting attitudes about that person, and they this and they that, and they should have this and they should have that. And a root of bitterness springs up in you. But it was because you were not willing to submit to the authority that was in your life. And then all those other things come after it and start manifesting themselves. And pretty soon, you have undone your authority in your mind, and you don't have to do what they say. Number five, maybe it's acceptance. With a mom or a dad. You know, maybe you think in your own mind, Mom loves her more than me. Dad likes him better. And that thing comes into your mind. Maybe it's real. Many times it's not. But if you leave it in there, it'll grow. And soon a root of bitterness will be there. And you'll believe it with all your heart that Dad loves him better than you. Or her better than you. I mean, you'll believe it with all your heart. And you'll start seeing it everywhere. But it's not there. I'm telling you, it's not there. In most cases. Number six. Envy and jealousy can cause a root of bitterness. You look on at somebody else. And you envy them. And you envy them. And you allow jealousy to begin to rise up in your heart. And now you have to do something with that person that you're envying. You've got to undo them somehow. They're not as good as all those wonderful things that are happening to them. And you just know it. And so you've got to undo them in your heart. And so you begin to undo them in your heart. And the root of the whole thing is envy and jealousy. You're looking on and you're saying, I wish that I could do that. I wish that I could have that. I wish that I was in that place. I wish I was in her place, or whatever it may be. And that's bad enough, just to have that attitude in there. But it doesn't stay there, see. The corruption of our human nature, it doesn't stay that way. It goes further, and pretty soon you have to undo that person who is getting all those blessings or whatever that you think you need to be having. You must undo them. You can't live with the envy unless you undo them. So you start undoing them, and the poison of a bad attitude, bad feelings towards somebody else, begins to grow in your heart. These are some of the things that cause bitterness. How do I get out of it? That's our last thought this morning. How do I get out of it, Brother Denny? Number one, you must acknowledge that you have it. That's first. Maybe somebody did hurt you. you need to acknowledge that you have it. I hurt. Tell God. If you can't tell anyone else, tell God. Tell God. Father, I hurt. I hurt, Lord. I hurt. I've been amazed through the years when you encourage someone to say those words to God, what it does. I mean, almost without fail. When you get down on your knees and you say those words to God, you break to pieces. See? But you have to get honest and acknowledge where you're at. I hurt. I hurt, and I'm bitter. If you really want help, you'll tell someone else. You'll tell someone else. I'm bitter. I'm bitter. And I can't get loose. I've tried. But I can't get loose. If you are hurting because someone hurt you, you need to forgive. You need to forgive. You need to release them. You need to let them out of the cage. You know, that's a beautiful picture of forgiveness. A bird in a cage. Do you have somebody in a cage? And there they are in that cage. And you look at them and you think about them and they hurt me. And that wasn't right what they did. And you just keep them in the cage. But what you don't realize, my hurting friend, you are the one that's in the cage. They're not in a cage. You think they're in a cage. But you're the one that's in the cage. And they're free out there going on about their life. Even though they hurt you, they're free out there going about their life. But you're in a cage. Let the bird out of the cage. I forgive. Release them. Whatever it is, whatever they've done, forgive them and release them. Number 4. Are you hurting? Jesus is a healer. We know that, don't we? Jesus is a healer. But you know that Jesus heals hurting hearts just like He heals hurting bodies. He can heal your hurting heart. He can go in there and bind up that wound. He can go in there and bind up the brokenhearted. He can go in there and pour in the oil and the wine. He can go in there like the Good Samaritan and pour oil on your wound and make it heal. He can do that. Bring your hurting heart to Jesus. Let Him heal it. He's a healer. But you must believe that He'll heal you. You must believe it. He'll heal you. Number 4. Accept those circumstances as being allowed by God. God did allow it. Didn't He? We were studying the book of Job last week in family devotions. God did allow it. We sat down and figured out how much money Job lost. You know? Oh, between $5 and $8 million Job lost. Several sons and daughters. Job lost the support of his wife, lost his health, all those things he lost. The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, Job. Amen. Accept those things as being allowed by God. Though you don't understand it, though it was a hurt in your life, God is still sovereign and He will use it for good in your heart, in your life. If you will only allow Him, He will use it for good. You know, as interesting as I studied the word bitterness, in the Hebrew, note this. It is the word mara. M-A-R-A-W. Bitterness. But there's another word, another Hebrew word, very close to that word. M-A-R-A-R. Mara. Marar. Very close. Very much the same word. One means bitterness. The other means rebellion. I thought that was interesting that those two were so close together. But we must face whatever our situation is. We must face it for what it is. And know that for some reason, though I do not understand it, though I cannot figure it out, as I look at it through my own human reasoning, it doesn't make any sense at all. Yes, it's not fair. It's not fair. But still, we must face it for what it is. It was allowed by God. And I'm afraid many times we want to hold on to how we feel. Our unforgiveness, we want to hold on to it. My right to hurt instead of to forgive. We must let it go. Whatever it may be, we must let it go. Remember that bitter medicine? Remember that? If these things are down inside the heart, they are having the same kind of an effect. Have you allowed your heart to be poisoned with bad feelings? Is it troubling you? Is it defiling you? I just want to encourage you this morning. You can do something about it. You can do something. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't let another week, month, year go by. Do something about it. Pull it out by the roots. Pull it out by the roots one time. Let it be gone. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to have an invitation this morning. And I just want to encourage you. The Lord can take it all away. The Lord can deal with it deeply. The Lord can heal it. The Lord can deliver you from whatever it is that's standing in the way. He can do that. He is the deliverer that has come out of Zion. So I just want to encourage you this morning, after we pray, come, let God pull out a root out of your life. Father in heaven, we come in Jesus' name this morning. Oh Lord, this is not a real exciting sermon. It's not upbeat, Lord.
But oh, it's reality in so many of your people. We know that, Lord. God, I pray this morning, you will hover over your people. You will talk to our hearts. And God, I pray for the hurting this morning. Give them a little light at the end of the tunnel, Father. They can get out of it. God, I just pray in Jesus' name, Spirit of God, just hover over this meeting. Hover over the hurting ones. Hover over the struggling ones, Father. Some may be hurting, but some may be just saying, not me, not now. No, I won't. Oh, Father, I pray you hover over this little invitation time with your sweet conviction. We trust you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.